I want to give a proper introduction here because the principles are all important. I think they're a little bit, they're many of them, so I want to make it clear. First time through. There's a mitzvah, there's actually multiple mitzvahs, when you find an object to return it. There's a, the pasuk says, Lo sir es shor achicha, o es seo, nidachim, you shouldn't see your brother's cow or his sheep, like, you know, wandering about, visalamta mehem, and then you just pretend you don't see it, hide away from them. Rather, hashev tashivem lachicha, you have to return it to your brother. So what does that mean? That means that you're not allowed to ignore it, that's a lav, and you must be meshivit, that's an aseh. Two mitzvahs already, and you have lost objects. There's a third mitzvah involved, which is you find it and you take it for yourself, you're over a gazela, a thief, so you have to return it. Fine. So, now, not everything that you find has to be given back. It depends. So you find something on the ground, let's say. So there's three, like, in the flow chart of what, you know, big circle, found an object. So now three paths of what to do next. So it could be, the answer is give it back. It could be the answer is you can keep it. Or it could be the answer is don't touch it. Because by touching it, you're making it worse than before. So in the give it back pathway, there's two sub-paths. It could either be, if you know whose it is, just go ahead and give it back. And if you don't know who it is, then you have to be machriz. Hachraza is like a publicized, and you'll put up a sign that you found it. That's how you'll fulfill the mitzvah of announcing it. Okay? Fine. Now, what determines which path of three are going on? So what the issue is yeush. Once the loser has given up hope, that's called yeush, given up hope of getting it back, that's effectively relinquishing ownership. And once the owner has, the loser, we'll call him, has had yeush, he's given up hope of getting it back, now whoever picks it up can keep it. Until then, no one could. Now, in practice, you got a big problem, which is what I know Yitzhak's thinking, which is, how do you ever know if someone was miyayish on earth? So, A, if you hear the person saying, oh, I've lost my thing, and I'll never get it back, and I'm writing it off my taxes, then that's a clear yeush, and then, you know, like, via chesron kiss, that's the Gemara's lesson, like, woe to me for my loss. So, at that point, if you knew that happened, you could keep what you find, even if you know who the owner is, the ex-owner is, because you know he gave up ownership. He gave it up, and you can keep taking it. I don't know if you should take it, but you could take it. But normally we don't know what the loser was thinking, because we don't necessarily even know who he is. So then we have to make a shikul, an estimation, based on, this is what it's contingent upon, whether or not there are identifiable features about the object which make the loser think, well, someone will find that and I'll be able to claim it back by identifying my object. Those are called simanim. A simon is like a identifying feature. So if the thing that's lost has built-in identifying features, simanim, so then the loser thinks I'll be able to describe it to someone, I can claim it back, and therefore I'm not giving up hope of getting it back. If it has no simanim, you know, a penny lying in the street, then he has no hope of ever, even if he knows he lost a penny and he knows what street it was, he still can prove to you that it's his, because it's just a penny. So then a person's miyayish, gives up hope, and therefore the finder of the penny can keep it. Now, if the finder first finds it, and then the loser is miyayish, in other words, he figures, it's been a month, I haven't found my cocker spaniel with the dog tags they returned to owner. He says, he gives up hope. He buys a new dog, and that first dog is gone. So the fact that he was miyayish doesn't help if the finder already has taken his possession. The burden to return it has gone onto the finder, and the fact that the yeish happened subsequent doesn't help anything. He still has to return it. But if yeish happened before, and then the guy lost his cocker spaniel, and then he gave up hope because it's been a month, and he says, "Oh, I'll never get it back. It must be dead." And then a person finds it, he could keep it. Now you'll never know, obviously, under normal circumstances, so you do what is presumed to be true. Now, there is a machlokas between Abai and Rava when it comes to yeush shalom midas, which means if the yeush happened first and then you find it, you can keep it. If you find it, then the yeush happens, you can't keep it. What happens if, when you find it, yeush hasn't happened yet? That's only because the loser doesn't realize he actually lost it yet. In other words, when your penny falls in the street, then immediately you have no hope of getting it back, and you're immediately miyayish on the spot. You don't even think for a second, maybe I'll get it back. You don't. So as soon as your penny drops, as soon as you know about it, then you're for sure miyayish. The question is, does that mean when the penny drops, you've already, like, de facto given up hope? Yeush shalom midas. You didn't know, but you're passing miyayish any penny that falls out of your pocket. Miyayish of any penny that falls out of your pocket. or no? Do we say no until you give up hope? It's not, hasn't been given up hope because you just don't know about it yet. So does your not knowing it, does the fact that you don't know you lost yet inhibit the possibility of the yeish, which is always passing there for any lost object that has no simonim?
Is your example using money, does it have to do with money, or does that have to do with the fact that it's a penny versus 200?
Well, it's ironically not a great example, because the Gemara explicitly says that when it comes to money, a person never miyayish shalom idas, because the person's like constantly checking his pocket. He knows what's in his pocket, so it doesn't go more than a minute without knowing that the money's gone. But I don't believe that's true for pennies. But I'm saying pennies.
So he knows it's gone.
Then the yesh on the spot. So in other words, because you're never going to get back a 200 shekel bill.
That's not
true. It's not true.
It's not true.
If you lost 200 shekels in the street, when are you going to get it back?
I'm not doing this as a go like this or anything.
Yeah.
A couple of occasions. And when I was a little kid, I found $5 at the end of my street and returned it to the school. They thought it was funny. You know, they laughed, and then they called me on a few weeks later, when nobody claimed they gave it to me.
Right.
And I was on my street here, I found, I think it was 20 shekel in front of, directly in front of someone's house, but in the, not the Shusha Rabbi, but I guess the, Carmel.
Yeah.
And I asked some of the neighbors, and I think, you know, nobody knew it was there, so I kept it, but I know there are other people as well. If they found money, they might.
But it's contingent on the loser, not contingent on the finder. When the issue isn't, we assume but that every finder,
depending on who the person is, I would have hope and faith that if I drop a lot of money somewhere, someone might put it on the list and say, I found money. Would you identify who?
I don't discuss a wad of money. Let's just talk about a single coin. It wasn't matter. I'll tell you why.
Single coin and a bigger amount.
If it was a 200 shekel thing, it would also be the same thing. Let me explain to you why. Because midin, you could never get it back. In other words, you know you lost 200 shekels. You're sure of it. And you know that guy, you know, must have blown next door, and you know the kid is jumping up and down 5 minutes later screaming he found 200 shekels. So you go, hey kid, guess what? Those are my 200 shekels. You still can't get it back from him. You can't get it out of his hands.
Say someone advertises they found money in a certain spot, please identify.
But you can't. You can't, but you can't identify it. How could you possibly identify it? Is this a standard issue of 200 shekels? No.
But why isn't enough to say how much money was found?
Because that's not a simon. Anyway,
it's not even sufficient if you know the serial number.
If
you know the serial number of the bill, it's not sufficient for you to. There's no simon. It's yeish.
But on some bills,
on some
bills, people write little things.
It doesn't matter.
Unless
you have it tied up or it's in an envelope.
Right.
Something
like
that. Okay, as far as the Gemara is concerned, it's yeish.
So we're not talking. So listen. No. So if it's tied up, it's a different din. If it's a stack of coins, it's a different din. We're talking about derech mefila. It's plop, it's lost. It's rolling in the street. I was thinking a simple example. The point is that in the money case here, I'm just trying to illustrate the point that as soon as you knew it is gone, you will immediately give up hope of getting it back. So you might not. That's just your, you know, an optimistic guy. But it's not just, it's more than just optimistic pessimistic. Midin, you can't get it back. I'm trying to hear that point. If you know the person who found it, you still can't get it back from him. If you take him to Basin.
No, but, oh.
So you're miyayish on the spot, because what are you going to think?
If he sees it fall out of your pocket as you're walking down the street, he doesn't have to return it to you.
Well, that'll be contingent on this yesh lo midas issue, right? Because that's what happened. I saw you drop it, but I know you don't know yet. Can I keep it? So yeah, that's our very question here. That is the issue here. So that is a machlokas Abaye and Rava, if you can have a din of yeish lo midas. So Abaye says it's not yeish yet. Until you know you haven't been miyayish yet. And Rava says no. As soon as it's out of your pocket, there's yeish. Now we paskin like Abaye.
One of six days.
Which means, yeah, so exactly, the Yalka Gam. So since we paskin like Abaye here, what does that mean? That means that if I see the money fall out of your pocket and I pick it up, I cannot keep it, since you have not been. If I know you haven't given up hope yet, because you didn't see it fall out, and I know you haven't realized, then I cannot keep it, because there's no yeish yet. Yeish in the kitzin.
Why do you assume that the guy's given up hope just because there's no simona? Maybe there's just a nice guy who decides he wants to return. I mean, why are we assuming
maybe,
that's not the case?
I answered your question. I answered your question why? Because there's no way to get it back. Ikra din. There's no way to get it back legally. You're hoping someone's going to give you a gift of $200 because you say you lost $200. That's what you're hoping for. Well, the rabbis say that's ridiculous.
Not a gift. They're going to advertise they found. And, okay.
But they don't have. Now we're going to circle. But I want to say something. Even if someone admits they found it, And even if you, and you can bring, someone will say to you that we saw where you lost and you bring witnesses, it doesn't matter. If the guy at the last second says, you know what, I decided to keep it for myself, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not yours. So you're asking to give you a gift. So you're hoping for a gift, but that's not how it works. Chazal did not assume, they're realists. They're realists. And they said, once it's gone, it's gone. So that's the din. That's the din here. That's the din.
So the amount and the location and any circumstances around where it was lost and how it was have nothing to do with.
Well, okay. That's now. Simano can come in three flavors. Okay, if you will, they can be what's called, what I'll call in English, qualitative. That's a simon begufo. The actual thing has a simon. In other words, you wrote your signature on this bill. Let's say, okay, that's one thing. Then there's what we'll call quantitative, which is minyan. I know I left a stack of 18 coins. That's a separate thing, right? That's a separate quantitative issue here. You know, it was $5.62 in the envelope. And there's a third case, which is called makom, which is locational. I know where I left it. So those are, all three of those are effective simanim. If the simanim exist, then indeed correct, then that will be effective simon. So now let me explain a little bit. The simon magufo is a qualitative thing. That means something idiosyncratic about the actual object. It's not a standard issue iPod that has been off the assembly line. It's an iPod that has my music on it. So now I can tell you what the music is on it. That's my simon for it, right? Or your thermos that has, you know, you put inside your initials or something on the lid or something. So something indicative that makes it yours, but without the knot. Okay, without the unusualness, it's just standard stainless steel, straight off the, you know, another one. And the same with the coin. A standard coin has no simanim because it's just a regular standard coin. If you're talking about an envelope with $5.82 for lunch money, then obviously that's the simon. That's a separate simon all to itself. Because then it's identifiable, and it would have a simon. It would have a simon. Okay? Now when it comes to, like, finding a certain place, it has to be the place, we have to believe, the finder has to have reason to believe that the place is the place where the lost or lost it. In other words, 200 shekel piece of paper rolling in the street, the fact that where you found it is not significant at all, because who knows where the heck where it blew from? It fell out somewhere. But if it's, and if it's in a public place in general, we'll assume the public, as they move through, they knock things around. So that's not considered a good location's irrelevant. But if I left a stack of coins, or, you know, it's stuck in the ground, or it's buried in the, whatever, it's some place where I can have reason to assume that the loser left his suitcase on the side of the road, and there it's still sitting there because no one kicks around a suitcase, then that location will be a simon into its own right.
So if you had like a money clip on your bills, that'd be enough to identify it.
Yeah, absolutely. Correct.
It's like losing a wallet.
Yeah, like losing a wallet. Exactly.
As opposed to just losing a few loose bills.
Right, that's exactly right.
It's like the envelope.
So if this is a brand new thing, then it has no simanim. But if you left it on that ledge over there, like obviously you put on that ledge before you went to catch the bus, so that would be a simon. The simon would be, I left it on the ledge over here. You follow what I'm saying? So, right, when it comes to minyan, the same thing applies. Like the quantitative simon, it has to be that the finder has every reason to believe that the number of eggs in this basket are the number of eggs that were left behind. Meaning, as opposed to, like, we'll see chicks in a second popping around. Who knows that the cat hasn't gone through them already? Like, you don't know if this is the final number. But if it's inside a briefcase and the lock is on, obviously, then, but the number of pages inside is the same number of pages inside the briefcase. There'll be a separate issue. There's a separate issue. It's nothing to do with anything we said here. There's a separate, well, I guess the first thing we said. There's a mitzvah to return lost objects. It was a chicha, if you remember. That was you said you're the cow or the, what do you call it, the sheep of your brother. Which means if it's not Jewish or it's, like, whatever it is, then you wouldn't have a mitzvah to return it. So if you find it in a town that's mostly not Jewish, then you'd assume it was lost by a non-Jew and you'd have a mitzvah to return it. That's what that would play so far. But I warned you about that Coke advertisement. It'll be on film. They're going to look like a real bad guy. Coke had this, whatever. They claimed the Coke thing said 95% of people who found the wallet handed it in. So, be warned. Okay, so that is everything. And we paused in like Abaya that there, Yeush Shalomidas is not called Yeush. If you find it too soon, you have to still keep and get it back to the person. Okay, so now we're going to give 10 examples. The mission says, Eilu Mitzios, where does it start from? Sorry. Eilu Mitzios Shalom, these things if he finds he can keep. Veilu Chayv L'Hachros, and these other things, which we'll see in the next Mishnah, Mishnah Base, he has to announce. El Metzia Shlo, these things, this list of 10 things, if he finds them, he can keep them. The reason for all these is the same thing, because there's no simen on them. They're all found derech nafila. They're found, someone obviously dropped them here, as opposed to place them in this particular place. And since they're sort of standard objects, there's no way to give some sort of definitive description of them. Here they are. Matzah, peros, mufuzarin. He found scattered fruit. The apples fell off the back of the cart. Right? Umaos mufuzaris, scattered coins. Or krichos versus haram. Krichos are little bundles of grain. They're dafka little, and they're dafka versus haram. The reason why is because that's not placed down anywhere particularly, and as the traffic moves around, they'll kick it. But if it would be either A, in versus a yachid, or B, what do you call them? Like large, alumos, like large bundles that are too big to kick around easily. You can just massive combine harvester that's like a huge bushel of grain. That, of course, that tanacha, wherever it's placed down, that's where it still is, and that would be a good simon in its own right. Okay? Igule de vela are cakes of figs. I actually saw some just yesterday. I was thinking, it's like they would, you know, press figs together and they stick together. It's standard issue, standard size, and therefore there's no special simon to it. Kikar shel nachtum, baker's bread, because the loaves the baker makes are all exactly the same. Machrozah shel dagim, these are strings of fish. In Chazal's time, they would string fish, the same kind of fish, the same kind of way, whatever it is, they tend to a string, whatever the story is. And the knot they would use, the fisherman's knot, a standard kind of knot. So there's nothing very indicative about it. There's no way to actually describe what, like, that's my string, because all the strings look exactly the same. Same knot, and same number of fishes that it is. V'chatichu shel basar, that's pieces of meat. Again, it's, it has to be something like nondescript, the standard way, you know, standard cut, standard pieces of, I don't know, chalent meat by the square, whatever it is. Again, there's no simon, so you can keep it. V'gizei tzemer haba'os min medinasan, shearings of wool that comes from this particular region. What that means is it's not yet processed, it's raw wool, so since it's raw wool, there's no identifying feature, and apparently, although I cannot give you much more light than the words I'm saying, there's different ways of shearing sheep in different regions, so it's the standard way, so it's nothing idiosyncratic about it. I guess in different regions they shear wool differently, and it could be clear this is not from around here. Become wool shear and you'll find out how that works. I don't know. Venitze pishtan, that means flax. Flax is like a little, like a plant that grows like a, it's called a long flower, if you will. But there's a, like a long fiber strings in the stem of the flower, which you basically you rub and get the fibers out. Then they would collect all this, a whole lot of those long fibers and bundle them together. So we're talking about that bundle of those raw flax fibers. Ulashono shel argamon, this is a lashon, is like a tongue, of course. It means like when this is dyed wool, but then they would do is they would comb the wool and dye it, and then it would be like form these like long tongues. I don't know, like long. My mind like think of a windsock, but you know, like things, massive cotton ball type things. The reason why they keep in that particular shape is so when you spin it, so then the, what's it called? The spinning thing? Spindle, that's what I wanted. The spindle will pull it evenly and not get knotted in equal thickness. So it's a standard issue. Point is, argamon, I guess, is that royal purple color that they use for garments. This is a standard thing. It goes without saying, that Bazmanazeh, if you would find a lush argamon lying around, that is one heck of a simon. That's a weird thing to find, and you'd have to announce it. But in their time, I guess, this is a standard object. Okay? Hare elu shalo, those things, if you find them, you can keep them. Divred mer. Now, fine. Rabbi Yehuda's going to argue with him on a point which I think most people do not understand the subtlety of this machlokas here. The issue is this. What happens if everyone agrees, everything we said so far, everyone agrees to? The question is, what happens if there's a simon on it, but the simon is on the inside of the object? And it's there because something must have fallen in, it seems. So in other words, from the outside, it looks like a standard loaf of bread. So you say, oh, this is, you know, bread from the baker, I can keep it. You cut it open, and lo and behold, on the inside, you find there
a
coin, or a pea, yeah, anything above it. A key. A key, that might be the one. Shlosselchala there. You find something, so you're like, whoa. So is that called a simon? Because like, that's pretty idiosyncratic. That's, you know, how many chalas you come to that you find, you know, a pea, or a key, or a coin, whatever it is. But on the other hand, you'd assume if the Balabais knew it fell in, he would take it out. Like, what do you think? You don't leave pot shards and coins in your food. So, do you say, oh, if it could be nafal me'aleh, it could fall in by itself, and it's only on the inside. So do we say the balabai certainly didn't know it was there, or he would have taken it out, and therefore it's no simon? That's no simon, and you don't have a chiv to announce it. Or do you say no? It's very likely the person knows what's inside it, and certainly it is idiosyncratic to have a coin inside your bread, and therefore that's a great simon. So that's the machlokas. If it's on the inside and it could have fallen in by itself, do we assume the balabai knew about it and you have to announce it, or no? You say he obviously didn't know about it, or he wouldn't have left it inside, and therefore it's not an effective simon. That is the machlokas. Rabbi Huda Omer, kol sheyesh bo shinoi, if it has something weird about it. But again, this is, I'm telling the cases, you'll see the example, when it has a weirdness about it that happened, something fell into it. That happened by itself, and it's not clear if it was on purpose or not. So he says, Rabbi Huda says, hai v'chachriz, he has to announce it. Ketzad, has that work? For example, matzah eagle, you find the fig cake, so you think you can keep it. Ubesocho cheres, but when you start eating it, you see there's like a pot shard inside of it. So, or kikar, you find a loaf of bread, you think you can have it, but you cut it open, ubesocho maos, there's money inside of it. So again, the machlokas is, if you have to announce that, because on the inside there's a simon. New point here. Another issue. The issue of tvias ayin. Now, tvias ayin means that in fact, it's a business card, it doesn't matter, but I would know just by the, I don't know, I would know whether or not this was my phone or someone else's phone if it looked pretty much the exact same, because I just recognize the wear and tear on, you know, like the cover and stuff. I'd recognize it. It's called tvias ayin. I know my thing. Right? I could look at it from a distance and recognize if it's mine or not mine. So, but before I see it, there's nothing obvious about it that I could say, like, I remember it's like a little bit worn out in this corner or not. But if I see it, I would know. So tevias ayin means my eyeball can be tovea for me. It can identify my behalf. So normally the way simanim are supposed to work is, I'm not showing it to you until you identify it. You give me identifying features, and then I'll check it. If you're right, they corroborate with what I see, then I'll give it to you. So tevias ayin doesn't work until you actually see it, and then it's too late, obviously. So the issue is, when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmid Chacham is not going to go and lie about his getting his phone back, and therefore, if you find an object with the Talmidei Chacham or Matsui, like it's said by the base of Midrash, so then you're supposed to announce anyways, because you'll rely on his tevias ayin. Notice he doesn't have a simon on it, but he'll look at it and he will tell you, oh, I recognize that, and it's mine, or not. So, the question is, so that's the din. The question is,
and you have to believe him.
You have to believe him. Yeah, you have to believe him. Exactly. The question is, how far does that go? So, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, Kol Kli and Puria, Eino Chai L'Hachriz. Kli and Puria means like a new object. There's no, the Rashi brings there, it's Ein Poraya. There's nothing to, but it means, it's like brand spanking new. So the fact is, obviously, like, if you really investigate anything, there's some idiosyncrasies to everything, little tiny scratches and marks and dots, but forget it. If it's a brand new object, we don't assume there's any tefisas ayin. And then even if you find in the base of Midrash, you know, a brand new, never used coffee cup or something, the standard one you find in the shops here, so then you don't have to announce it, because that's a Kli and Puria. No one has a tefisas ayin on it, even a tefisas ayin they don't have. Okay? And that's a din. A din is like it. Cool.